9:01, slightly late, due to me. I will take the credit. On Sefer Mitzvah, no? Kedushat,
well,
Shabbat?
Yeah, I could have made it a Sefer Mitzvah. It's last week's Parsha. It's an idea that comes out of last week's Parsha, but Shabbos
okay.
is every week.
From B'Shalach.
And I think that I think it's a good idea. It's worth discussing. Okay. We normally think, because there's a certain amount of truth to it, that this week's parasha is the introduction to the idea of Shabbos. That the first time the Jewish people got the mitzvah of Shabbos was during Aseres Hadibros. Of course, when you look more closely, you realize it's not true. It was given to us before Maimon Har Sinai. But it was given to us in a unique context, in the context of the man. Okay, it was kind of like a throw-in to the man's story. It's worth reading the Pesukim. The Torah says as follows. Vayhi bayom hashishi laktu lecha mishneh shnei ha'omer lo echad. Okay, it was a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they took double. Right, shnei ha'omer. What do we have for that? What remnant of that do we have?
Two challahs on the wood.
Lecha mishneh. Vayavo'u kol nisiyei ha'eda vayagidu l'moshe. And it's a very, very strange story. The Nisiim, the leaders of the tribes, came and told on the people to Moshe. Because they understood you're only supposed to take one Omer as the regular days of the week. Vayomer Aleihem. So Moshe says to them, no. Hu asher diber Hashem. This is exactly what God said. Shabbaton Shabbat Kodesh Lashem Machar. There's a special Shabbat for Hashem tomorrow. Eit asher tofu eifu ve'eit asher tevashlu bashelu. Whatever you want to cook, cook. Whatever you want to bake, bake. Ve'eit kol ha'odef hanichu lachem lemishmeret ad haboker. The leftovers you leave till tomorrow. You do everything on Friday and you leave it over till tomorrow. So the first interesting thing, which we're not going to discuss about, is it sounds like somehow the people knew, but the Nesiim didn't know. That's the first interesting thing. And the second thing is, it sounds like Moshe goes, oh, that's right. Hu asher diber Hashem. I forgot to tell you.
Yes.
You know, God had told us, that God had told me that thing called Shabbos. I slipped my mind. I forgot to tell you. But now, Vayanichu oto ad haboker kasher tziva Moshe, v'lo hivish v'rima lo hayitabo. So they left over until Shabbos day, and it did not spoil, it did not get wormy, as it happened before. Vayomer Moshe ichluhu hayom ki Shabbat hayom Lashem hayom lo timtzauhu basadeh. So Moshe says to them, eat it today. Today is for Shabbos. Don't worry. There'll be more man, but not on Shabbos. And you should eat the extra portion that you took yesterday. Sheshes yamim til kituhu uvayom hashvi'i Shabbat lo yihiyebo. 6 days you harvest the man. Harvest is too strong. Collect the man. You gather the man. But on Shabbos there is no man. So, what's Moshe, what's God telling Bnei Yisrael at this stage?
It's a special day where Correct. You're not allowed, where the you won't gather as you would during the rest
Correct.
Of the week.
But what is the man a yes. substitute for?
Food prep.
More than that.
Well, we don't really know from this context. It's hard
no,
to
but
say.
No, but we do know from the context that man
like
represented what? The only...
Well,
man was the only job there, meaning, how did you support your family in the Midbar? You went out in the morning and you brought in the man and that was it, right? There was no commerce, there were no lawyers or no doctors, right? Our understanding is there were no plumbers, there was nothing,
right?
Every morning you went out, I have no idea. It took 5 minutes, it took 15 minutes, it took a half an hour. But basically, when God says no man collecting in the Midbar, he basically means no working in the Midbar, as best I could tell, right? Because there's no other form of work besides the gathering of the man. Fine. Now, I should have put it on the sheet, but I was saving space. Basically, we have this one rule. Don't collect man on Shabbos. And what happens? They go out and they collect man. So then you get they were unable to keep that that's the basic rule. So now you get a reformulation. What's up with the new guys?
Yeah. Okay. Word is spreading.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all from Bruce. No, Mr. Weiser,
come.
Take a sheet. Take a sheet.
Always kids in my class.
He's
just sitting in the back.
We're all pushing. We don't ask for sheets. I'll sit in the back.
Okay. I will continue. Now. So the Bnei Yisrael went out and tried to collect the mon anyway. And so now you get a reformulation of the Isser. Look at the last thing in number one. The Pesuk says as follows. Ru'u ki Hashem natan lachem ha-shabbat, al kein hu noten lachem bayom ha-shishi lechem yomayim. And here it comes. Shivu ish tachtav, al yetze ish mimekomo bayom ha-shivihi. Now, you don't have a blanket prohibition on gathering mon. It's true, you do. But it's formulated in a much more specific way. Shivu ish tachtav. Somebody translate. Sit ish tachtav.
In his place.
In your. Okay. It does sound that way, but I assume it doesn't mean that. Okay, sit in your place. If you didn't get it, al yetze ish mimekomo bayom ha-shivihi. Don't go out. What mitzvah is this, or what lota is this?
It's tchum
Shabbos. Ah, so the hint is tchum Shabbos, but probably tchum Shabbos is not d'oraisa. Tchum Shabbos meaning, for argument's sake, you're not supposed to walk more than 2,000 amos outside of a town, right, without any homes. But what other
hotzah,
right? Probably this is the source for hotzah. What's hotzah?
Taking one reshus to another.
Character. But practically speaking, it's moving something from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim. I got a sheet for you. Okay? Okay, I'll let go. Fine. It wasn't that funny. Okay.
Yes.
You have something in your house, right? Moving it to Rishus HaRabim. Again, Efrat, even without an Erev, Efrat almost certainly is not, Efrat is not a Rishus HaRabim. A Rishus HaRabim needs wide open spaces. Maybe it needs 600,000 people, probably not. What? What?
It's a commonly.
She shouldn't be possible.
Okay, maybe. We're not getting into that now. But probably Efrat is at most a Carmelis. Okay, which probably isn't an issue d'oraisa, but let's say, for argument's sake, you lived in Manhattan. That's like an easy one. Manhattan has big streets that go straight through.
It's also a commonly because the streets curve.
They go straight for a long time. If you hold from the Eruv in Manhattan, then it has to be a Carmelis. Otherwise, you can't make an Eruv. A Carmelis is like the minor leagues of Rishus HaRabim.
So Oklahoma has no.
Okay.
Has no.
Now,
people there.
Now, the Shishim Rebo thing may or may not true.
They told me in Krakow
because they didn't want it to be a Rishus, because Krakow obviously wasn't a Rishus HaRabim because they didn't have.
No.
Huh?
The
oh, really?
Places.
Oh, right. Okay.
Places,
there's other heterom for that. Fine. So you have here a reformulation again. Originally, blanket Isser, don't go make a living. We violate that. Instead, you get this idea of shivu ish tachtav al yetze ish mimekomo bayom ha-shvihi. No carrying. That's one thing. Now, let's back up for a second. How many biblical prohibitions are there on Shabbos? 39. It's called the Lamites Melachos. Lamites Melachos. Now, where are the Lamites Melachos in the Torah?
Mishkan.
Where are the Lamites Melachos in the Torah? They're not.
Except the fire.
They're not. You could look. One second, we're getting there. This is a method to my. Okay. you look all over the Torah, there's no list of they're in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol in Masechet Shabbos, and we'll see, they'll learn that from the Mishkan, but the 39 malachos are not listed anyplace. There are only two malachos that are listed in the Torah. The first one we just saw, Hotzah. The second one at the beginning of Vayakel. Look at number two. The pasuk says, "Vayakel Moshe's kaladas bnei Yisrael vayomer alem." He gathered them. Eile hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasot otam. Now, he's about to introduce the building of the Mishkan. Okay, but before he gets to the building of the Mishkan, the Torah says as follows: Sheshet yamim te'asem melacha, should work for 6 days. Uvayom hashivii yihyelachem kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton Lashem kol ha'usev melacha yumat. But on the seventh day, that's a special day to Hashem. You can't do any malacha. And here comes the pasuk: Lo tiva'aru eish b'chol moshvoteichem b'yom haShabbat. You may not kindle a fire in any place on Shabbos. The only two specific prohibitions in the Torah are hotza'ah and kindling of a fire. Reb Chaim Navon has the following idea, and I believe it to be true. He says, "What's hotza'ah?"
Who's Chaim Navon?
He's the one who says this thing that I'm about to say.
When did he live?
Chaim Navon still lives. He's probably my age. He went to Gush. One day, if all works out, he'll be the Rav Rashi of Israel. He's a big Talmud Chacham.
Probably won't work out.
No politics.
Right.
He teaches it. He's a good guy. Anyway, he's where I heard the idea from.
Okay.
He says as follows. You either like the idea or not. You don't have to worry about the Chaim Navon part. I just didn't want to steal it.
The time period.
Okay, the time period
is now present.
2000. Yeah. Okay.
Present.
Now, what's carrying? Carrying is expansion and conquest. Right. This is where I used to be. Now I've moved my stuff to another place. I'm claiming this other place as my own. Right. It's a way of expanding your control of the world, expanding where you live. Conquering another area, not necessarily from another person, but taking it over as yours.
That's why you put food at the end of the...
Yes and no. Okay, it's a similar idea, it's true. What's fire? Fire is technological advancement, right? Any innovations, any creations, any changing of something from a solid to a liquid or the reverse, you know, involves heat or the opposite of heat. Okay? So again, you have conquest and you have technological advancement, you have creativity. Both of those, and this wasn't his idea, everybody understands this, it's not malacha per se that's prohibited in the Torah on Shabbos. It's creative action, right? It's not just moving something from one place to another, it's changing the status of this new place. It used to be somebody else's, now it's yours. Making a fire is being creative. Changing something from... Here you go, sorry.
Oh.
Okay. You'll work it out later. Changing something... Somebody did something wrong this morning. Exactly. Okay. Again, technological advancement, conquest, expansion. The idea behind the malachos of Shabbos is not raw action. If you spend all of Shabbos carrying your weights from the basement to the attic and back again, you have not violated an Isser D'oraisa. Work itself is not prohibited on Shabbos. What is prohibited on Shabbos? Creative action. Creative activity, creative work. Huh? For sure it comes back to the fact that God created the world. But the point I'm trying to make is you could see that from the two specifics. You could see that from the two specifics in the Torah. Okay? That the idea behind Malachos on Shabbos is creative action. You could see it also from the Halacha. Look at number three. The Mishnah says, what kind of work is Asr on Shabbos? Meleches Machsheves Asr Torah. Meleches Machsheves means not just intentional, but some kind of creative act. So for example, Hilchos Shabbos is full of heterim that don't exist elsewhere in the Torah. Like misasek, you didn't do it on purpose. Malacha sheina tzricha legufa, meaning you did the malacha, but you didn't do it in a way that was the creative action that the Torah meant to prohibit. So, for example, tearing something on Shabbos, mutter or aser? Tearing.
Depends on what you're tearing.
It depends. If the tearing has a creative element to it, then it's prohibited. Right? If you just tear something in anger, that's not aser on Shabbos. It's aser midrabanan, but it's not, right? Bona and soser, building and destroying. So destroying something on Shabbos is prohibited, but only what? If it's soser al manas livnos, right? If you're just angry and you take a hammer and you shatter something, that's not an iser doraisa.
Well, the hammer's mutsu.
Well, you took a hammer that you set aside before Shabbos for your anger. You set it aside before Shabbos, so it wasn't Moktza. And you destroyed something. In fact, that's a fascinating question. The halacha has a question about a person who tears Kriya on Shabbos.
Tears Kriya right? Because of
tears
morning.
Kriya because of one of the Zion... You heard that one of your Zion Krovin passed away. So, it's fascinating. Normally, tearing something is not usur. It's not usur min haTorah, because you're just tearing it for no reason. But here, the fact that you're tearing it for the mitzvah of Kriya might create an isur doraisa that wouldn't have otherwise existed.
Wow.
Because the mitzvah of Kriya, right, turns your action of destruction for no reason into a creative, purposeful action.
Plus the tear was often so resown, so although you were tearing, they would resew.
That's a good thing.
Because if you planned on resewing it, you couldn't tear it. It's like destroying.
No, even that
building.
I don't think would be wrong, because what's the benefit to that? If you tore it to make your garment better, that'd be a problem. If you just tore it in anger and then you resewed it, I think it's the same situation. But anyway, the point is, the yesod of Hilchos Shabbos is creative action. And as Mr. Weiser pointed out, almost certainly that's what we're imitating God. Right? And the more you think about it, you know, God, I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but, you know, the vision you ought to have of God creating the world is God, however he or she looks, in like his or her easy chair. Because Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, right? He just said, and it became, right? There's no reason to believe that it was any more difficult for God to create heaven and earth than it is for us to do, for us to breathe, right? Who Amar Vayehi? He said, right? But Asar Ma'amars, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, didn't involve anything. But what he did was create a world. And so the focus for us on Shabbos is not on manual labor. It's true, manual labor is bad on Shabbos. But that's not the focus. The focus is on God-like activity, creative activity. What'd you say?
Light on Shabbos, the switch.
Yeah, that's but that's creative. Correct. That's exactly the case. So, we are banned from doing creative activity on Shabbos. So here's our gut instinct. Well, if God prohibits something, there must be something wrong with it. Because otherwise, why would God have prohibited it? If God tells us not to work on Shabbos, there must be something wrong with working on Shabbos. So obviously, that's not true. That's not true. Look at a fascinating Mishnah in Avos Rabbi Nassan, in number 4. And the Mishnah says as follows. Ahov et hamelacha. One is supposed to love work. Chayav adam lihiyot ohevet hamelacha va'osek bimlacha. A person is... Okay, this is not so easy, right? The fact that you're supposed to work, I get. The fact that you're supposed to love work, you know, is a little harder for some of us, depending on your job.
Can
but,
we practice until Michael?
Well, we're getting there. Well, we're not getting there, but it'll be, you know, the subtext will be there. Okay? You're supposed to work. Va'od haya Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Not only that, but Rabbi Eliezer would say, Gidolahi melacha, great is work. Shekishem shenitztavu Yisrael al hashabbat, just like the Jews were commanded about the mitzvah of Shabbos, kach nitztavu al hamelacha. In the same breath, they were commanded to work. Shenemar sheishet yamim ta'avod v'asita kom lachtecha. V'yom hashvi'i Shabbat l'Hashem Elokecha. So not only does Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah say that work is a good thing, but Rabbi Eliezer learns it out from the prohibition of work on Shabbos. Right? Interesting.
Where is this Masechtas Katanas, Masechtas Avos?
It's not from the
Tanya. Avos to Rabbi Nassan is like the expanded version of Masechtas Avos. It's in the section called Masechtos Kitanos. It has like smachot, things that most people don't learn, but it exists, it's real. They're real Tanaim.
They're not in
okay? Schools, so. They're real Tanaim. And again, so here's the fascinating thing. Rabbi Eliezer says, from the fact that you have a mitzvah to decease from malacha on Shabbos,
Desist. Decease is something else.
No, it's the pronunciation. Again, Americans, desist.
He said decease. I was wrong.
Oh. He just killed somebody.
Okay.
He's an NBA from Wharton.
The good news is, now that you've nailed me on something, I'm free the rest of the show. <'Cause> he's just showing up waiting for me to make a mistake. So luckily, 9:22, we're done. Okay, now.
Desist from Wharton.
Cassis and desist. Mm-hmm. That's the order that was granted against you when you did that thing, remember? Mm. Okay,
well, if you're deceased,
fine.
You probably desist.
Now, deceased, again, it is the prohibition of work on Shabbos that yields the understanding that work is of value and that work is supposed to be done the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a few deep ideas here. One is that God doesn't prohibit that which isn't of value. I think stupidity is not prohibited in the Torah because there's no need to prohibit it. I mean it for real. That from the fact that Hashem said don't do creative work on Shabbos, he was saying I value creative work, right? Mm-hmm. Don't think I don't value creative work. Sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha, do work for 6 days. On the seventh day, don't do work. It's the fact that you're not supposed to do work on the seventh day that sheds light on the value of work the other 6 days. It also... What? To work? It's a mission. I'm not saying... Let's put it this way. I think it's not in the Targ Mitzvot, but it's, you know, it's the bedrock of a lot of things that we believe to be true about the Torah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us on this world, to do things with the world. But let's come back to this. See, if a lot of times the gut instinct is to say, well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited something, right, it must be bad, and or, well, what about this? God prohibited malacha on Shabbos. I want to be even holier. So I'll do like this. You know, one day they'll say about me, and when I write my own art scroll biography. it's the kind of thing you hear from some Hasidic rabbi. He says, you know, I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, I can't go a whole week without Shabbos. I'm going to make Shabbos on Wednesday. Every week I'll have Wednesday. No, I'll have Shabbos on the regular day.
2 days
of Shabbos. I'll have Shabbos on the regular day, but I'll also have it on Wednesday because that's how much I love God. So the answer is it's clearly wrong. Because you know what it's like? It's like a person saying, well, God prohibited chametz for 1 week a year. So it must be that God doesn't like chametz, but as a concession to human behavior, you know, he let us have chametz all year, but I'm going to be so firm. I love God so much. Right? One that comes closer to home. Really, God didn't want marital relations. That's why he has Hilchos Nida. But, you know, what are you going to do as a concession to human beings? He allowed us to have relations with our wives. So this is all completely wrong. It's completely wrong for the following reason. It's exactly the fact that God separated. What's Kedusha? Or what does it mean to be holy? It means to separate. So when you separate out, it sanctifies the other part. Okay? When you don't do malacha on Shabbos, right? What you're saying is the malacha that I do the rest of the week is sanctified to God. How do I see that? I see that by the fact that I'm refraining from doing malacha on Shabbos because God asked me to. Okay? When you keep Hilchos Nida, what you're saying is that I refrain during a certain period of time so that when I do it, there's a certain sanctity to it. Right? It becomes part of the halachic world, becomes something that's governed by God. It doesn't become something that God let me do because Nebuch, I'm weak, like Christians think. Rather, because something that God wants me to do. And how do I know that God wants me to do it? Because he actually limits it. And sometimes when I don't do it, the fact that I don't do it sanctifies that which I do do.
Is your Torah is in the Melacha?
Is what?
Limud Torah, is it?
No, it's not.
I mean, what about those who say my vocation is Torah?
Could we hold off on that till the end? It's not Melacha. We're going to hold off on the Kolal thing till the end.
But you also have to mention the Torah Perur Avot. How do you explain that if you want to refrain from out of relation the entire time?
So it's clear that that's not the case.
Well,
but Perur Avot, that I'm saying Perur Avot is not a you could have said that it's kind of a concession to the fact that the world needs to exist. Okay, you need children, so what are you going to do? Yeah.
Didn't the rabbis extend the separation period or take also laws of mourning? Really, one day is the right, the rabbis extended the mourning.
Yeah.
But, so we always have rabbis extending what seems to be this time zone between what's permitted and what's outside.
There are mitzvahs to Rabbanan, and it's true that
they're always extending.
But we have that with respect to Shabbos, but they don't fundamentally change it. Right? With respect to Shabbos, we have Tosefah Shabbos. It's true. We start Shabbos beforehand and we keep Shabbos afterwards. But that's not, let's put it this way. If Chazal came along and said Tuesday is the rabbinic Shabbos, I'd have a problem. But even Chazal could only claim it was rabbinic. Right? They couldn't claim there was Minat Torah, but the answer is they don't. Here's a good example. Chametz. Right? Chametz is also from Chatzos Erev Pesach. Chazal say 10 in the morning. Right. Okay, but that's a gather. We understand that. Chazal say with respect to Hilchos Nida, you know, in order to make sure that we don't get it wrong.
Double the time.
Okay. Your frustration is obvious.
Laws of morning are 700%. I mean, it's the right to one day
this
morning.
Okay, Hanukkah, it's a gazillion percent. Purim is a gazillion percent.
They just, right to,
no, but Hilchos, but Avelos is like that. Avelos is a completely rabbinic construct.
One day was
based. It's true, but here you have again. The point I'm trying to make is that sometimes it's the separation that yields the holiness. And now I'll try to prove it even more. From
how about eating meat?
I'm in favor.
Yeah, eating meat is not necessarily. We have all these halachot concerning shechita.
Correct.
We have minhagim about not eating meat before Tisha B'Av.
Right.
But eating meat is not a lechatchila. It doesn't make it
on
a holy thing.
Is, oh, right. Right. Ain't simchel b'basav yayin. Let's do a medrash. Sure. It's always hard to say this is like the greatest medrash ever, but it's one of my favorites. Oh. We must have done it before. Okay. Watch what happens. Number 5. Sha'al Turnus Rufus Harasha es Rabbi Akiva. It is known that historically Rabbi Akiva had a relationship with Turnus Rufus.
He married his wife.
Huh?
He married his wife.
Okay, there are all kinds of possibilities. But I'll just point out that to earn the last name Harasha, you got to be a bad guy. Okay? His name is Turnus Rufus Harasha. So he asked Rabbi Akiva, Ezem Ma'asim Na'im. Whose actions are better, are more pleasing? Shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu or shall Basar Vadam? Right, so it's obvious. Who's better, God or man? So Rabbi Akiva has to answer God. But he doesn't. Omalo, shall Basar Vadam Na'im? Man's actions are better, we'll use the word better, than those of God. Omale Tunas Rufus Harasha. What are you talking about, Rabbi Akiva? He says, God created. Now you have. It's a funny thing. Like the Rush is the frum guy. Now he's saying to Rabbi Akiva, God created heaven and earth. Man could create heaven and earth. How could you say that man's actions are better than God's? Amalo Rabbi Akiva, lo tomar li bidavar shehu lemala min habriot she'ein sholtim b'hen. It's true. He says, don't compare. Don't ask me questions from that which man is incapable of doing. Right? Man is incapable of creating a world. It's true. Ela bidvarim shehein mitzuyin bivnei adam. He says, but when you compare things that God does and things that man can do, man's actions are better. Now, how does this work? Amalo. Returna Shuvah Zarosha says to him, Lama atem mulim. Why are you circumcised? Amalo, Rabbi Akiva says, Af ani hayiti yodea sha'ata atid lomar li kein. I knew this was coming. Rabbi Akiva said, I could tell from the beginning this was the direction of the conversation. Why? Because it happens to be that historically Romans were disgusted by circumcision. Why? Because Romans worshipped like the human body and the perfection of the human body.
So the Greeks.
Okay. So it very, very much offended them. Okay. So probably Rabbi Akiva had a sense from the beginning. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, you know, he didn't get to be the Gadol HaDor for nothing. He obviously was a very intelligent man. He saw where this conversation was going. He said, that's why I said that man's actions are better than God, because I knew you were going to ask me about Bris Mila. Lachen hikdamti va'amarti lecha ma'aseh basar v'adam heim na'im. Mishel HaKadosh Baruch. So that's why I said that man's actions are better than the actions of God. Now, watch what he does. Says Rabbi Akiva, Haviuli shibolim v'gluzkaot. Rabbi Akiva says to Turnus Rufus, or to whoever was in the room, bring me shibolim, wheat, ugluzkaot, and loaf of bread. Okay, you see where this is going. Amar lo, Eilu ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'eilu ma'aseh basar v'adam. The wheat, that's what God made. The loaves of bread, that's what man made. Ein eilu na'im. Isn't what man made better and more valuable than what God made? It's indisputable. Havi'u li, another example. Anosei pishtan v'kelim v'beit shan. Bring me flax. And, you know, and fully made clothing, let's say, shirts, dresses, pants, whatever. Amalo, Eilu ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'eilu ma'aseh v'asar v'adam. God made the flax, but man made the clothing. Ein eilu na'im. Aren't these better? Amale Turnus Rufus, ho'il v'hu chafetz b'mila. So Turnus Rufus says, well, drop that, fine. But if God really wanted man to be circumcised, lama eino yotzei mahul mimimei imo. So why didn't he make man circumcised? Says Rabbi Akiva, lefi shelo natan hakadosh baruch hu liyisrael et hamitzvot, ela kidei litzareif bohen. Because God gave man mitzvot to purify himself with, to form himself, to perfect himself. Lachein Ar David Imrat Kol Imrat Elokat Zrufa, that God's words, the Torah, are purifying. Okay, a couple of things. The first thing is, you know, how do we deal with Rabbi Akiva's position that what man does is more valuable or more beautiful than what God does? It can't be understood literally, because obviously man can only make bread if what? If God allows for the raw material, right? God allowed, set up a world in which you could grow wheat, in which you can grow flax. And it's true, man took that and, you know, perfected it. So the simple answer, and the simple answer is the universal answer, nobody really disagrees with it, is that God made an imperfect world and commanded us to perfect it, right? There's no doubt about it. You know, it's clear in what we see. God made a world that has cancer, and God made a world that has disease, and God made a world that has hunger, and God charged us with doing everything we can to perfect the world, right? I think it's obvious, therefore, that our job in the world is to perfect it, and probably some people can perfect the world by learning Torah all the time, but, you know, without people doing the other stuff, the world's not going to work, right? There's no question about it. The world's not going to work if the only people we have learn Torah. So, A, the purpose of creation was to leave an imperfect world for us to perfect, and, you know, we see that in the name Kel Shakai, that God finished creation. Before Bris Mila, God appears to Abraham and says, Ani Kel Shakai, and the drasha is, Ani hu sha'amar la'olam dai. Kel Shakai, I said enough. Meaning, God stopped creation at an arbitrary point. He could have continued creating and maybe the world would be more perfect, but he left it to us to create, to perfect. Same thing with respect to the human body. Of course God could have created man without an arla, but he chose to create man with an arla and command us to perfect the human body. But now here's the point. Normally, we think of the focus of Bris Milah is on the Arla, is on what we're removing. But I think the point is, the focus is supposed to be what remains. Okay? What remains is the perfected human body.
You know, you
can. One second. It's the focus isn't on what we took away. The focus is what remains. When we talk about Kedusha, sometimes we talk about, you know, what is, and sometimes we talk about the thing that gets separated. But the thing that gets separated leaves behind something that's full of Kedusha. So, for example, you know, human sacrifice is abhorrent to God. But separating out a part of the human body leaves behind Kedusha. What I'd like to say is, with respect to Shabbos, it's the same thing. Shabbos is the circumcision of time. Right? When you don't, if you think of Shabbos, and it's the wrong way to think about it, but for purposes of this idea, it is. Shabbos is the Arla of time. When I say that I don't work on Shabbos, what I'm doing is sanctifying the 6 days of work that remain. Much like when I do a Bris Milah, I'm separating out the Arla. Now again, the parallel is not fair, because Shabbos is Kadosh and an Arla is not. But philosophically, right, it's the same exact idea. It's the focus isn't on what I'm taking away, the focus is on what remains. So when God asks me not to do malacha on Shabbos, what I'm doing by that is sanctifying the malacha that I'm doing the other 6 days of the week. The focus is not just on Isser malacha, but it's on what's left behind. And what's left behind is our job in the world, is perfecting the world, is sanctifying the world. And one of the bizarre ways that I show that is by refraining from doing that work 1 day a week. I cut you off?
It's okay. I was just thinking while you were talking that first of all you have Arba and trees, which is also separation.
Good.
You have Trumas and Mises, which is also separation.
Yeah, yeah.
You're making something which is mundane Kadosh just by doing the separation.
Correct. I agree completely. I think there are many, many examples for this. Now, but let's look at a really, really fascinating one which ties directly to the idea of malacha on Shabbos. And that is as follows. Where do we know the 39 malachos from? The Mishkan. From the Beis HaMikdash, from the Mishkan. Good. Here it is. Look at number 6. The Mishnah says, Haditznan, it's not Mishnah, I guess it's a Gemara. Haditznan avos malachos arbaim chaser achas kineged mi. How do I know there's such a thing as 40 minus 1 malachos, the 39 malachos? Amalu Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, kineged avodot HaMishkan. Okay? There were 39 actions that were necessary to build and or to maintain the Mishkan. Those 39 actions are prohibited on Shabbos. So already you say to yourself, wait, those 39 actions which involved Kedusha, which involved, you know, the building of the Mishkan and the running of the Mishkan, I should have thought those are the ones I want to do on Shabbos. That's first. Now, Rashi says why. Kineged avodot HaMishkan, otan haminuyot sham beperek klal gadol hayu tzrichin laMishkan. The list of 39 were necessary for the Mishkan. Uparshat Shabbat nismachal parshat melechet haMishkan lilmod heimena. And the parsha of Shabbos, it's a few places in the Torah, but in Vayakhel in particular, right? There's the Isser Malacha on Shabbos, and then there's the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. So Rashi says they're next to each other to teach you that the malachos that were necessary for building the Mishkan are usur on Shabbos. Okay? Let's take it one step further. Let's say Mashiach comes tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Huh? Why not today?
Okay. Let's say he comes tomorrow. And he tells us, and it turns out we paskin that we have to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. It's a machlokis, not so clear in the Medrash. But let's say Mashiach says, listen, bad news, it's not coming down from heaven. We got to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's it. We gather up everything. We start Thursday, Friday. We're building it on Shabbos or not?
No.
Why not?
Because actually, if you think about it, it's the 39 Melachot is ritual work. in the Torah.
Okay.
So therefore, it would be prohibited.
So look at the Ramban.
First, we're going to confirm.
You're right.
Any sure?
Get the Arab.
You're right about the result, but it's an interesting thing. Look at number 8. The Ramban says, "Eile hadvarim asher tzivah Hashem lasot otam sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha." Amar eile hadvarim asher tzivah Hashem lasot al melechet hamishkan v'chol keila v'chol avodato. The way the Ramban reads it is, the Torah tells us to build the Mishkan, and then actually literally interrupts the building of the Mishkan
to talk about
Shabbos. So he says, what's it telling us? V'hiktim ha-shabbat le'mor ki sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha eile hadvarim v'lo bayom ha-shvi'i shehu kadosh l'ashem u'mikan she'ein melechet ha-mishkan doche ha-shabbat. The Ramban says, it's not just that we learn out from the juxtaposition of Shabbos and the Mishkan that those malachas that were necessary for building the Mishkan and for running the Mishkan are prohibited on Shabbos. We learn out something more fundamental, that the actual building of the Mishkan, the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, was usur on Shabbos. Now, when you say it, it seems fine. Okay, yeah, it's usur on Shabbos. But when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what greater thing, what greater act of creativity could man do than building God's home? Right? There's nothing more valuable a human being could do, I would claim, than building the Mishkan, than building the Beis HaMikdash. I know it's not literally God's home, but that's the way we view it. It not only should have been mutter on Shabbos, it should have been like the biggest mitzvah ever. So Rav Shamshon Rafar Hirsch pointed this out. And he said, and this ties into what we've said before, he said that Kedusha requires separation. Okay? And even the most wonderful, most creative, most valuable thing that a human being can do in this world has limitations. And the fact that you think something's good and the fact that you think something's godlike doesn't allow you to do it without limitations. So, for example, I genuinely believe that I would daven better in the woods, genuinely so, than if I davened in shul. But that's not the halacha. That's not the way God set it up. I genuinely believe that I would daven shachris better in the afternoon. Right? If I slept all morning, I'd be refreshed. That's not, the service of God requires limitations, even on, you know, things that are properly motivated. The person who says, I want to keep Shabbos all week long, he's really properly motivated, he really loves God. Forget the fact that he's not going to be doing malacha. Without limitations, religious service is selfish, right? To choose those things that I enjoy the most, even if I'm motivated by a sincere love of God, is not the worship of God, because the worship of God has to take place within certain restrictions. And he sees this, and it's fascinating to me, he sees this from the prohibition of building the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, which by all rights, you know, should have been mutter. But the lesson we're coming to learn is, even the most valuable creative act in the world requires a cessation, requires restrictions, requires limitation. And as much as I would like to build the Beis HaMikdash 7 days a week so I can get it built faster, I'm not allowed to. Not because, it doesn't seem to be because Shabbos is more important. It's because you needed a restriction on creative action. Even the building of the Beis HaMikdash requires a restriction on creative action. Right? We value it. This whole point here, I'm trying to make the point that creative activity is valued to the point that maybe it's a kind of a command. It's true, Mr. Weiser said before, it's not in the Tariq Mitzvahs, but it's a pasuk. Shei shemim te'aseh melacha, according to the Mishnah, is not a heter, it's something valuable. Nevertheless, even that has to have restrictions. Okay? Now, I want to finish with using this idea for something that I think is fascinating, something that I think that we know, but we don't really understand. Everybody knows that, much like what we've discussed so far, malacha is important during the week, right? But you can't do it on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Building the Beis HaMikdash is important, but you can't do it on Shabbos. What else? is something important that we do every day of the week, but not on Shabbos.
Tefillin.
Excellent. Now, we're so used to the fact that tefillin is muktzah, that tefillin is asur on Shabbos, we never really think about it. Why not? What's wrong with tefillin on Shabbos? Tefillin helps me daven better.
Oats and oats.
Huh?
Oats.
Excellent. So we all know this thing that no one understands. Okay. Right? That Shabbos is an oat, is a sign, and tefillin is an oat, is a sign. What? So there's like a maximum signage? Like, that's why we don't do it. Everybody says the same thing, and it's true. That is in fact the explanation. But what in the world does it mean? Mm-hmm. So we'll have an extra sign, right? Wearing tefillin is a wonder, you know, wearing tefillin is cool. I still remember before my bar mitzvah how excited I was to wear tefillin. And it's here, it's there, it's all these things. What's going on? So let's look. Okay. Let's look. Look at number 9. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Yachol yaniach adam tefillin b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim. Right, by the way, it was a hava mina. Right? Maybe you would, it's a machlokas, but maybe you would think that a person should wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Talmud lomar v'haya lecha la'ot al yadicha mi shetzrichim ot yatzu eilu shehen gufan ot. Okay, the limud is as follows: v'haya lecha la'ot al yadicha. It's supposed to be a sign. So Rabbi Akiva says it's a sign if you need a sign, but on a day where the day itself is the sign, so you don't have to wear tefillin. That, in fact, is the limud, but it doesn't help us. Because I would say, so what? Okay, so I'll have 2 signs. I'll have 3 signs. Bris Mila is an oat.
And it's a
right?
Shabbat.
And, you know, no one says, well, okay, it would be
well,
impossible.
Because it says
the
8th day,
but the bottom line is, I don't know why there's a maximum number of signs that you could have.
Okay.
Fine. Different question. What arm do we put tefillin on? Huh?
The weaker arm.
The weaker arm. Why? Yad keha. What's the limud? It says yadicha, and it's spelled yud dalet chaf hey in a strange spelling. So the drasha is yad keha. You put your tefillin on your weaker arm. Okay? That's what most people say. But there's another limud in the Gemara. That's different, but that we should know. Look in number 10. The Gemara says, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Eino Tzarich, I don't need fancy limudim for left arm, right arm. Harehu Omer, Ukishartam, Uchtavtam. The pasuk says, Ukshartam la osal yad. No, it says, Uchsavtam. I can't work backwards in the pasuk. One verb is writing, and one verb is tying. Okay? Maksiva biyamin. Just like a person writes, a righty writes with his right hand, afkshira biyamin, so too the tying on of tefillin have to be with your right hand. Vikevan dikshira biyamin, you only got 2 choices. If you're going to tie it on with your right hand, then what? Hanacha bismolhu. The arm that you put it on is the left arm. Okay, so this is the exact opposite of the first limud. The first limud was you put tefillin on your left arm because your left, there's something unique about your left arm because it's the weaker arm, and that's the drasha. Here, you put tefillin on your left arm because you're putting it on with your right arm. The focus isn't on the left; the focus is on the right. It just happens to be if you're gonna put it on with your right arm, the only place to put it is your left arm. Okay, now add to this drasha umachlokas harishonim, where thank God we paskin against the shita. In Tosfos there is a shita that says ukshartam laot al yadicha. Ukshartam doesn't mean just putting it on; it means, you know, that knot that's inside of your tefillin, the little yud that's attached to this. You have to undo it and retie it every day. That's the shita in Tosfos. Ukshartam means not just putting it on. But why? Because the idea is that your tefillin shel yad is the mitzvah is, you know, the actual tying, whereas the tefillin shel rosh, it's just the being. It's actually reflected in our brachos, right? What do we say in tefillin shel yad? Lahaniach tefillin. Okay, there, even Sfarim have two brachos, they only say one. If you were mafsik, then you'd say the other. Okay? Now, the bracha is ukshartam, the action of placing of tine. On your head, it's just what?
Mitzvah.
Al mitzvah tefillin. It's just up there. So listen to this. Here's the idea. The mitzvah of putting on tefillin is a creative act. The sign of tefillin is tying your tefillin onto your arm. That is a sign. But that sign is the opposite of the sign that Shabbos is. Putting on tefillin, it's not a malacha, but it's a creative act. It's the tying of the tefillin that constitutes the mitzvah of tefillin. So when Rabbi Akiva says, you know, Shabbos is an os and tefillin is an os, so they can't go together, it's not because you can't have two otot. It's because they're opposite signs. The sign of Shabbos is refraining from creative action, and the sign of tefillin is doing creative action. Now, we're not saying, again, that creative action is bad, but creative action on Shabbos is banned because we want to sanctify all creative action. So, in a way, it would be an exaggeration to say that tefillin is a malacha. It's not. It's not an issur d'oraisa to wear tefillin. If you wore tefillin on Shabbos, you know, you'd be against the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. It would just be a drabanan. But the philosophic idea behind it is exactly the same idea. That Shabbos stands for the sanctity of creative activity by what? By refraining to do creative activity on Shabbos. And that has to include tefillin. Because the sign of tefillin is the sign of the value of creative activity by doing it, and the sign of Shabbos is the value of creative activity by not doing it. Okay? I think that's an amazing idea. It's not mine, I think it's also Reb Chaim Navon. So now, we're done, and then let's just put everything together and work it back again. Okay? We started with the prohibition on any kind of work relative to the man, right? Man represented work in the Midbar, represented, you know, I don't know, bringing home, literally bringing home food for your family. That was banned. We violated that ban, so then God reformulated it. And he said, Shivu ish tachtav al yetzei ish mimekamo bayom ha-shvi'i, right? Which we defined as the creative action of conquest or expansion. He also had the prohibition of lo tivaru ish b'chomo shvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat, the prohibition on fire, which again we saw as technological advancement, some kind of like the most creative activity you could do, those two things together. And we saw basically that the prohibition of malacha on Shabbos is the prohibition of creative activity. But at the same time, we saw the value of creative activity. And we concluded that the Torah is certainly not making a statement against creative activity. In fact, the Torah is emphasizing the specialness and the importance of creative activity by saying, I want you to not be creative one day of the week, and by not being creative one day of the week, we're going to show how important creative activity is the rest of the week. The proof to that being Bris Milah and the story of Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus, where Rabbi Akiva's point was that man's job is to perfect the world requires creative activity, and Bris Milah is the separation of some little thing, leaving behind the more important thing, right? And I then called Shabbos the circumcision of time, right? Whereas Ki'ilu, Shabbos, stands for the fact that I don't do malacha on this day, that's the Arla, leaving behind the great value of malacha the rest of the week. That explained what? That explained the prohibition of building the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Why? Because we need restrictions on our religious fervor. You can't worship God just in the ways that you like without any limitations. Worshiping God means, you know, again, lahavdil. It's like buying your wife something because you really like it. She's like, but I don't like it. You have to do these things, right? Showing love involves showing respect for the other person's position. And worshiping God involves, you know, respecting God's position. That's why there was a prohibition on building the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, that, I hope, explained the reason why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. because tefillin lines up with creative activity because of ukshartam, right? And therefore, even though it's an oath, it's not because there's a maximum number of otot you can have on Shabbos. It's because you can't have opposite signs. And the sign of Shabbos is refraining from creative activity, and the sign of tefillin is being creative for the sake of God. Those two things can't exist on the same day. It's not because you can't have two or three otot. You can. We just have signs that operate in different directions. Because the Torah is not a simple thing, and the fact that God prohibited work on Shabbos doesn't mean he's against work, and the fact that God prohibited chametz doesn't mean he's against chametz, and the fact that God prohibited marital relations at some point during the month, right? Sometimes it's the prohibition that shows the value of the thing. Shkach.
Sure. Okay. So Lima Torah then should be usher on Shabbos because A, to really learn you have to work at it. B, to do work you first have to understand what you're going to do. And if there's a problem here, at least I see it. Maybe if you learn light, it's okay. If you learn deep, you're really working at it. And if you work,
the point I made is it's not the work.
No, I agree. It's not the work, but if you really think about it's not effort
that's prohibited on Shabbos.
It's ritual work.
It's creativity. It's
because what do we prohibit? We prohibit where do we learn it from? The building of the Mishkan. Right. So that's all ritual work.
Right, but learning Torah, the Torah could have prohibited it, and it didn't.
So if you learn about the malacha of building the Mishkan,
right,
you're actually working because you have to know those malachot in order to do the work.
It's obviously not true. It's not part of the limud. But I disagree with the idea that learning Torah about malachos makes it usur. It's like learning halachos of chametz on Pesach is usur. Of course not.
No, but on Shabbat it might be.
But it's not.
I always get the impression that the Torah Shabbat kind of explanations were taught over the time in the Midbar.
Okay.
The written book is given to the end, and that these things are like an asmakta, so to speak. They had to learn these things. And
what things?
Like the Pesukim of the Torah. They weren't given the Torah first, and that's how we know it from.
No,
they learned, and
I don't think it's true.
Because if you would just read...
I don't think it's true.
The reason I'm saying that, if you just read, don't carry... and don't build the Mishkan, I would think, so don't schlep anything around.
Okay.
And part of building is schlepping.
Let's
none
of
these other rules and
wrong.
All the...
There's a machlok is when the Torah was written. There's no machlok as to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu came down...
No, it's when he gave it out, when he handed it out, not when it's written. He gave it to the people at the end of the 40 years. It says he wrote it and gave it out. But his teaching for 40 years
I agree.
All these rules, and then we later refer... In other words, do we know these halachot from the Pasuk? Or the Pasuk is in a smak to really be learning the two places?
It depends. Some of it is halachot Moshe Mitzrayim, which we believe. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and said, ayin tachas ayin doesn't mean an eye for an eye, it means musk. That's halachot Moshe Mitzrayim.
Every Pasuk learn that way?
No.
I have a learning, and let's
learn. The difference between halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, which we understood was given by Moshe. Rabbi Akiva didn't claim that his drasha came from Moshe Rabbeinu. It was his drasha.
Right. You mean which one? The
many of them. Uh-huh. I assume that no one ever wore tefillin. This is what I think happened. I think that from the time Moshe Rabbeinu, and no one wore tefillin on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that's the case. And they didn't know why. And Rabbi Akiva came up with this limud.
So these 39 rules, you think, were given later from the very beginning?
No, that's for sure. Lagdas Malachas were given where Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between
Rabbi Google. Thank you, Rabbi.